Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We have a scripture, several scriptures that I'd like to have us get into. And before we do that, how many of you have ever said yes? Everybody's hand should be up. You said yes when someone said, are you hungry? You said yes. Are you thirsty? You said
yes.
You want a job and you haven't worked for 6 years and you would say
yes.
Well, that's, you're getting there now. If you were sick and you wanted to get well, you would say
yes.
Amen. So I want you to get in that posture today. Pastor had us singing that song, yes, yes, yes. And it's a good habit to get into when it comes to God, saying yes. Amen?
Amen?
So we don't have a ton of time this morning, so say yes quickly. Ready?
Yes.
There you go. The more you do it, the more you'll be blessed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word that we're going to look into today. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to respond to your word and to respond to what you say. And God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would anoint the things that we say today, that you'd anoint our ears to hear, and that our expectations to be filled would be true. Lord, the word says, he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, you are righteousness. If we hunger and thirst for you, we'll be filled. So God, fill us to the fullest this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to the scripture. You got it up there? Hello. Darryl, what you doing up there? Do we have it now? Okay, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But Peter, remember Peter, but Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And when he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. But found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?
But
Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. What do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. Saying, prophesy to us, Christ, Who is the one who struck you? But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. But again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know this man. Immediately a rooster crowed.
And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times.
That's good. We're looking at the story of Peter. I had you read those two scriptures to get an idea of what was going on. Peter was like us in many ways. In fact, I want you to, in this few minutes that we have, I want you to try to place yourself somewhere in this story about Peter. And if I can just review what we just read, it talks about the fact that Peter was a disciple, and then he said to Jesus something. Jesus said to him in response that he was going to deny him 3 times. And Peter said, no, I would never do that. And then when Jesus was on the cross and when he died, the little girl said, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? Like, how come you are not with the rest of them? And Peter was like, oh, I don't know him. I don't know Jesus. I don't know him. He denied him 3 times. And then the cock crowed. So I want to look at Peter a little bit. And I want to focus this around change. That word, we've heard that word a lot. The definition of change, this is one of the definitions I read. It says to make or become different. Change, to make or become different. A proposal to change the law, that would be an example. Another example is take or use another instead of change. Take or use another instead of. She decided to change her name. That would be a change, that's right. Another version is to make or become different or to do, use, or get one thing in place of another thing. This is something you all can relate to. I've changed jobs twice in the past 10 years. I've changed jobs. I changed my hairstyle. Do you like it? I went from some to none. There you go. Here's another example. To change your mind to form a new opinion or make a new decision about something that's different from your old one. Here's an example. If you change your mind about coming tonight, just give me a call. Or, you ladies, when I first met him, I didn't like him, but I've changed my mind. See how that goes? You change your mind. Here's another one. Her attitude has changed definitely for the better since she started a new job. But this is the one that I like the most. And you parents can relate to this. It says to change your ways to improve the bad parts of your behavior. That's just not parents. That'd be all of us, right? Here's the example. If he wants to keep on living here, he's going to have to change his ways and learn to be less messy. Did y'all get that? If he's going to keep on living here, he has to pay rent. He has to get a job. Somebody said, well. Hey, my father said that to me one day. I came home from college and decided I was going to drop out and read the newspaper and watch the soap operas. So he was on the telephone one day and he just leaned into the living room where I had my leg cocked up over the side of the chair, reading the horoscopes, good Lord. And he just said to me, he said, you know, if you don't have a job, you can't stay here. And he went on to keep talking. So, you know what? I had one job by 3 o'clock that afternoon. The next day I had 2 jobs, and by the weekend I had 3 jobs. And I worked all 3 of them, from 6:30 to 3:30, from 5 to 11, 2 or 3 days a week, and then 3 Sundays a month I was playing somewhere. So I made a change. How many of you are looking for some positive changes in your life? Amen? Yeah, remember I asked you that question? Yes, can you say it? This is a time to say yes.
Yes.
1, 2, 3.
Yes.
There you go. So when you look at Peter, Peter was like us. Here's the deal. Peter, he got excited all the time. You remember when Jesus was walking on the water and they thought it was a ghost? The disciples were in the boat and they thought it was a ghost. And they said, "Is that you? Lord, is that you?" And Peter goes, Lord told him, "Hey, calm, it's me. Don't worry, I'm coming." And then Peter goes, "Hey, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come out of the boat and walk on the water." He didn't say, "Hey, come on over, Jesus, and hang out with us." He said, "If that's you, tell me to step out." Nobody ever does that. But Peter did. He opened his mouth, and guess what? He walked on the water until he looked down. And then he began to sink. But Jesus, in his mercy, told him, "Face back here, look at me." And it was a good experience. But Peter is the one that's always opening his mouth. If you look through the Gospels, you'll see Peter over and over again. It'll say, "Then Peter, then Peter." It doesn't say, "Then James and then John." It says, "Then Peter." He was the big mouth. Peter was always, and I'm not beating up on Peter, because that was me. I remember one time, I won't even tell. I've told on myself enough. You almost need no more ammunition. But here's the thing. Peter does what we do. He steps out of the boat. He cut off the high priest's ear. Jesus, they were coming to arrest Jesus, and Peter decided, "You know what? You can't take him. I'm going to whack that ear off." And Jesus said, "Calm down, man." He had to put the ear back on and heal him. And see, I was talking to Mark earlier, and he was saying that, you know, they don't give Peter credit because Peter was a fisherman. And that meant Peter was very athletic. It also meant he was strong, and he knew how to handle the sword. So Mark was saying, if Peter wanted to cut his head off, he would have just did it. But he was really being accurate when he cut off his ear. Nevertheless, I thought I would throw that in. Nevertheless, Peter was presumptuous. He was impetuous. He was always saying and doing things that nobody else did. And he got himself into trouble. I don't have time to go through all the scriptures, but there was one time when Jesus said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" to the disciples. And the disciples responded by saying this and that. Peter got it right when he said, "You are the Christ. You are the Christ." Nobody knew that, but Peter said it. And Jesus said to him, "You know what? Flesh and blood has not told you that. That was revealed to you by my spirit." So Peter could say some powerful things at the right time. He got the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God. But then just a few verses later, Peter screwed up again. And Jesus had to tell him, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus called him Satan and said, "Get behind me." Because Peter was always doing something he shouldn't be doing. How many of y'all feel like that sometimes? I know I have. I've felt like that many times. And the good thing is that if you can see yourself in the story, you can see that there's room for you and me. And I believe God puts the story of Peter in here as condensed as I can make it this morning. He put it in here so we can see that there's grace and mercy. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know what? When you get grace and you get mercy, what should your answer be?
Yes.
Yes, there you go. Somebody got it right away. I like that. Jesus said about Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church." The same guy who cut off the high priest's ear, He calls Peter. He changed his name. Peter's name was Simon. He said, I'm changing it to Peter. And upon Peter means rock. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. Now, if you look at Peter, he was nowhere to be found right after Jesus got crucified. He was denying Jesus. How's God going to build his church on Peter? He's not a suitable candidate. Would you want to hire him to do a job if he, you know what I mean? Anybody know what I mean?
Yeah,
I've been around people that are unreliable. For example, I've hired somebody to come and do my lawn, and they said, I'll be there at, say, 10 o'clock on Tuesday. 5 o'clock on Friday, they show up. You think I'm hiring that guy again? Nope, you're right. Fired. But see, I'm not Jesus. Jesus gave Peter another chance. And he gives you and I another chance. We don't deserve it. We should be fired on the spot. But we get another chance. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
What happened to Peter between his denial of Jesus and the day of Pentecost? Something happened. Because the Bible says at the end of that scripture we read, it said that Peter wept bitterly. I mean, that wasn't just, no, it was a serious disappointment that he was to God, and he felt that in himself, like many of us should feel. Now, I'm going to step out on the limb here. It's not that far, so you don't have to try cutting it off. But in this day and time that we live, most of us do not like being told the truth because it hurts our feelings. And because it hurts our feelings, we get like petulant little children. You hurt my feelings, so I'm going to a different church. You told me the truth and I didn't want to hear it. So I'm leaving. So I don't have to hear the truth no more. Do I sound like a 3-year-old? Exactly. But that's how we are about the truth. Because we take the truth as bringing me down. I remember I had a conversation with my daughter one time. I won't tell you which one because I have two. So if you ever see them, you won't be able to bring this up because they won't know what you're talking about. Right? But I told her something about herself. You know how you hate to do it to your kids, but you know what? That's not right. And I told her about herself. And I was nice about it, but I told her. And she was like, you're just bringing me down, Dad. You're just bringing me down. I don't need you to bring me down. I said, I didn't bring you down. You brought you down. I just told you where you were. And I said, and the reason why I'm telling you where you are is so you can get up. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. And it's not condemnation. We confuse conviction of the Holy Spirit with condemnation. Two different words. Here's conviction. I know I told that lie and I feel bad about it. The Holy Spirit's knocking on your little noggin, telling you that you shouldn't have lied or you shouldn't have done that or you shouldn't, right? That's the Holy Spirit bringing conviction. Condemnation is when you ask for forgiveness and then someone or the devil brings it back up again. And then they try to beat you up with your sin. Because the Bible says he who the Son sets free is free indeed. If you've been forgiven, you're forgiven. Jesus forgot about it when you asked for forgiveness. So he's not bringing it up. The devil will come on the other hand and say, you remember when you didn't mow Paul's lawn until 5 days later? You remember that? And he wanted to fire you? I'm using that as an example, but there's a whole lot worse, right? Things that we've done, said, and been. But the good part is that God forgives us. And so we should be able to feel bad, which is what Peter did. He felt bad about denying Jesus 3 times. He felt bad. In fact, the bitter, that word has a different connotation to it than just feeling bad. It's full of remorse. I'm so sorry. Have you ever said something to somebody and you feel, I remember I said something to my wife one time. She wasn't my wife yet, but I said something to her. And we were good friends, and she walked away shaking her head. And I said, put your hand over your mouth, shut off the flow. That's what the Living Bible says about be sensible and shut up. You said enough, just shut up. And it was me. I said it, and I felt so bad. And even though I apologized afterwards, I said, you know what, I'm sorry I said that to you. It was like the damage was done. And it took me a couple of years to restore that trust back in her as a friend. And what I said was true. No, it wasn't. It wasn't true. I'm just kidding. I just want to see if y'all awake. It wasn't true. It wasn't true. But I felt really bad. And that's how Peter felt when he got when the cock crowed three times. It reminded him of the things that Jesus said about him. But then when you flip the script and you go a little further, the day of Pentecost comes, and somewhere between when Jesus came out the tomb, you know, there's at least five or six times when groups of people saw Jesus raised from the dead before he went back to the Heavenly Father. And Peter was among the disciples who saw him. And then he got a chance to, somehow Jesus must have said something to him. The things that Jesus said about him, upon this rock I'll build my church. That was something that Jesus spoke about him. And it's kind of stuff that he says about us. It says that, for I know in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to not harm you, but to give you a hope and a future, to prosper you. Those are the things that Jesus says about us. God says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, obviously, you have to be in Christ in order to be the righteousness of God. I'm making this little distinction. Because if you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and ask him for forgiveness, you can't be in Christ. And because you're not in Christ, you can't get the benefits of being in Christ. It's kind of like if you're in my family we celebrate birthdays and we do Christmas big way. But if you're not in my family, you can't come and get the benefits of my family. You know what I'm saying? You can't just show up at my house on Christmas and, hey, I'm one of the family, where's my gift? You can't come on Thanksgiving and just sit down at my table and eat my turkey and whatever. It don't work like that. And you can't be in the body of Christ unless you ask Jesus to be in your life. So I just want to make that clear. I had to preach a funeral for somebody a few days ago. And it was a tragic funeral. And so I was talking to somebody and I said, you know what? Pastor preached this last week. You're either saved or you're not. There's no in between. You either love God or you hate God. You're either saved or you're not. It's kind of like you're either here or you're not. You can't be here and be over at, you know, so-and-so restaurant. You're either here or you're there. You either love God or you don't. And it's the same thing with the truth of God's word. You either accepted Jesus. Some people will say, well, he's on his way. At some point, you either are or you're not. So if you're not today, you can make a change. You can make a change. You can change the way you're going for someplace better. God says he has a plan for your life that's better than you could ever think or imagine. The Bible says that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither has it entered into the mind of man, the glorious, and I'm adding, wonderful things that God has in store for those who love him. He has great stuff in store. Peter would have never thought that he, on the day of Pentecost, would be the one preaching and starting the church. He started the church. He was the one that the Holy Spirit used to preach powerfully so that 3,000 people got saved. The same Peter who denied Jesus with his mouth is the same Peter who lifted up the name of Jesus. He eloquently broke it down. We don't have time, but if you want to go and read that in Acts, in the first few chapters, Peter just breaks it down. These people are not drunk as you think they are, because they were talking about them, because they were all speaking in foreign languages, and everybody that came from all over the different parts of the known earth at that time, they could all hear in their own languages, because God supernaturally gave them the power to speak in unknown languages. And the church was born that day, and Peter preached powerfully. That could be you. All you have to do is say, there you go. All you have to do is say yes. So what happened between the day that Peter denied Jesus? It says in Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. I didn't know what a sifter was until one day my mother, because I heard that scripture in church. I heard my father preach it, and I didn't know. What does sifting mean? My mother got this little thing, and she put some flour in it, and she would squeeze the handle kind of, and it would turn around, and then some thinner flour would come out. It was thicker at first, but then it was almost dusty when it came out. And so that was a sifter. She told me that's a sifter. And so when Jesus used that analogy, he'll sift you as wheat. He'll just do whatever he wants to do with you. But I've prayed for you so that doesn't happen. Now, Jesus has prayed. Other people have prayed for you. Some of you have no idea who prayed for you, how you even got here today. You have no idea. There's people that are in heaven that prayed for you. I'll give you an example. One day I was riding down Highway 20 in Dallas, Texas, which is straight east and west. You can put your car on auto, cruise control, and just sit there and watch it go for hours, because it's straight as an arrow. But it was 2:00 in the morning, and I was on my way home from a long recording session after working a full day of work. And I was tired, and I was driving home my little Dodge Omni doing 70 miles an hour. And in Texas, they have the studs that are on the side of the path there to let you know when you're crossing the line. Well, I didn't hear the car roll over those studs. And I woke up, and I was heading for an underpass. And the underpasses are made of solid concrete, and they have big poles that are as big as 7 or 8 of us put together. They're huge. If my little car hit that pole, I would have been dust or toast. And I'm doing 70, and I fell asleep. And all of a sudden, when I woke up, I saw my car going to the post, and then it just went back on the road. And I didn't hear the brruh, 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 brruh. I didn't hear none of that. I just was boom, back on the road. And just then, I was at least 35 years old. Just then, I realized that my life was spared, and my hands began to shake. You know how you can imagine. But the Holy Spirit said to me, I just answered one of your grandfather's prayers. My grandfather died when I was 10. I don't even think he knew my name. I'm not being facetious. He did know my name. He was a preacher and everything, but I didn't have a great relationship with him because he died before I got old enough to hang out with him. And my older brothers and sisters had a good relationship with him, but I really didn't know him. I was named after him. And so maybe that's why he prayed for me. But the Lord told me at least 2 or 3 times in my life, I just answered one of your grandfather's prayers. I wasn't even saved at the time my grandfather died. So 25 or 30 years later, I answered. So you're here because somebody prayed for you. You're here because somebody called on the name of the Lord on your behalf. And what that says is that God listens and hears and answers prayers. It might not be in your lifetime, but it happens. So Jesus prayed for Peter that the devil would not have his way. And guess what? At the end of it, it says, In verse 32, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, look how he puts it. Peter just is denying him, and he says, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So not only did he say he's going to come back, but he told them the job he's going to do when he comes back. How many of you, I prophesied over my kids. I know, you know what? My father used to call me the Apostle Paul. I was nowhere near the Apostle Paul. But he kept calling me that until I started walking after God. He kept calling me the Apostle Paul. My point is that Jesus is speaking over you. The Bible says his banner over you is love. He holds up a big sign that says, I love you. That's what that means. And then he says, I love you with an everlasting love. That love goes forever. Amen. So some of you are looking at your life and trying to figure out, how could I ever change? I'm in a mess. I'm a failure about this. I'm a failure about that. But let me tell you, God, who is rich in mercy, the Bible says, he's rich. He has a lot of mercy. That's what that means. He has a lot of mercy, and he's looking for you. When you say,
yes.
Hello. When you say,
yes.
Yes, that's it. If you want to change your life, what must you say?
Yes.
And to whom should you be saying it? Jesus, God. Okay. Amen. We're right down to the end of our little sermon today. Romans 8:34 says, it is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Jesus is sitting at the right hand, praying and interceding for all of us. That's a powerful advocate. If you've ever been to court, you know how powerful it is when someone stands up and pleads your case. This is how it goes. God is sitting on the throne, and the only people that get to come to God are people who've been washed in the blood of Jesus. So you have to ask Jesus to forgive you and accept his free gift of salvation, and then you get to come. But the good part is that while you're coming, and while you might make a mistake here and there and you ask God to forgive you, the Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's not accusing those who are not saved, because he already has them. There's no need to accuse them. He condemns them. He just says, hey, you're a liar, you're messed up, you're whatever, whatever. But if you're a Christian, he's going to the throne of God to accuse you before God. Hey, God, Paul did so-and-so. Did you see that? And the Bible says that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. That will be on this side. And God looks over at Jesus and says, is that true? And Jesus goes, my blood covers it. Satan, take a hike. You can't say nothing. You're dismissed because you get no love right here, right now, because my blood is covered. So God has allowed Jesus to sit at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. There's people that are praying for you even now. So I'm asking this question as we get ready to close. Who of you would like to see change in your life? Who of you would like to see change in your life? You can raise your hand right now. And the way you do it is by saying yes to God. I want you to bow your head. I want you to remember this scripture again. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, not to hurt you, plans to give you hope and a future. This is what happens when you say yes to God. It says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you if you seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. What God is saying is, with all your heart, if you say yes to God, that he is looking for you to respond to him, and he's going to be found by you. There's been times, I know, all of us have asked God, where are you? You've been going through stuff and you think God has forgotten you. You don't know why things haven't changed or things are good, but you know God has never forgotten you. He's listening. Sometimes when we come to God, we want immediate relief from our problem. And as soon as we get relief, we run away from God. But God says he's rich in mercy, and so he invites us to come boldly, the scripture says. When we were praying this morning, the Lord seemed to say to me, the veil was rent into the curtain that divided us. The high priest from the Holy of Holies was split in two because of what Jesus did on the cross. And he gives us an opportunity. He said the veil was rent in two. So now come boldly to the throne of grace. Come to God. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, if you ask me, if you seek for me, you'll find me today more than maybe some other times. If you ask, you'll find me today. What is it that you need from God? You need forgiveness? It's here. You need healing? It's here. You need relief from the pain of your life? It's here. God has something for you today if you'll receive it, if you'll say yes to God. If you'll receive it. He says, you will seek me and find me. You seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. Jeremiah 29:14. I will be found by you. Who of you today desires something from God? Some of you may raise your hands. I'm asking that question again. And right now where you're sitting, there's no magic. Open your mouth. Put your hand over your mouth if you don't want nobody to hear what you're saying. But just tell God, not in your mind, but outside your mouth, speak it. And say, God, this is what I need. I need a fresh touch from you. I need deliverance from my past. I need a removal of pain. I went to a meeting last night where a woman was saying how God delivered her from rape and incest. And from the time she was 6 years old. He healed her. She's 30, 40 years old now. Been married for 10 years. And God healed her and changed her life and gave her a new start. There's some of you today that things have been done to you without any admission from you. You didn't ask for it. It just came. We didn't get to decide who our parents were. We just came. And whatever happened to you when you got here, God has something for you today. He has healing. He has forgiveness. I love Jesus. I love him because he understands everything about every one of us. And he's speaking now. He's speaking to you right now. And he's telling you to say yes to him. If you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. It's a guarantee. You will find me with your whole heart. Seek him right now. Tell them what you feel. Tell them what you think. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. There's some of you this morning that you're backslidden. You're as cold as ice when it comes to God. And you know you need to repent and make it right. I triple dare you to change today. I dare you to change and watch God do something miraculous in your life. I'm a living witness. I'm a living witness. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't even be alive. God is a God. I promise you, he wants to meet your need. He wants to change your life. Just like Peter. You can't read the book of Acts without seeing Peter's name on every other verse, it seems. Because God redeems what was lost. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither has it entered into the heart and the mind of man what God has for those who love us. Father, I just pray right now for everyone who spoke out of their mouth, and even for those who wished in their heart that they would receive that which you have for them. I pray, God, that by your Spirit you would restore that you'll bless and that you begin a new fire in each one. In the name of Jesus. Satan, I addressed you in the name of Jesus, and I command you right now to loose your hold over these people that love God, that are trying to come to God. In the name of Jesus, we break every chain, every bondage. We plead the blood of Jesus against you. Father, thank you for delivering folks today. Thank you for healing. Thank you for your Holy Spirit moving among us. Thank you that your word is true. Lord, I thank you that you have helped us to say yes this morning. Thank you for those who raised their hands and who said yes and spoke out of their mouth that they want to change. We give you glory for it right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you embrace us with your love, an everlasting love. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now give him some praise this morning. If God did something for you, give him a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.